Here's the question. You guys have been going over. You guys have been talking about heavenly things. We've also been talking about worship. And I guess the question is this. Why do we make worship so difficult? Why not? I heard it. I heard that. Do I have any geniuses in here? Or here, let's... Do I have any humble geniuses too? We'll be talking about that tonight. How about this? Let's be a little more specific. Do I have any Rubik's Cube geniuses? Whoa. I'm just asking because I kind of got a Rubik's Cube and I can't figure this thing out. It's like a little baby one. Come on. But you know what? You know what's funny is as here. Let's see. I'm gonna kill someone right here. There we go. Little high. Did I solve it? Yes, it's solved. All right. Well, you know what? Good thing I come with backups. How about a regular one? All right. How about you come up for this one? Now I'm horrible at Rubik's cubes. I can't seem to solve that. Can you solve that? Yeah, no, you could do it. You could tell me when you get it, please. But you know what? Let's go a little bit crazy. You know what? This one is how it came, so it stayed as that way. We'll look at that one later. But how about this one? You got that? You got that? All right. But you know what? Let's take this up another step.
Now let's go. I got it.
Oh, this is nothing compared to what is it called? An dodecahedron is what I believe it's called. No, I think they have one that's even more now, but it was expensive, and I wasn't willing to buy that. But this is slightly more difficult. Someone think they could solve this? I have a bunch of... Oh, no, I just want to play with it during the lesson. That's what it comes down to. No, I'm not some sort of genius that could solve this during the lesson time, but... What I want to do, that's amazing. What's your name? Huh? No, I don't think so. Anton? All right. So I solved the 4x4 over there, you know. Or 2x2, I'm sorry. I guess one of the other ones, yeah, that one's the 4x4. Do you think you can do this one, Anton? What's that? Oh, absolutely. I almost bought a Rubik's Cube for Dummies. And if you guys haven't seen this, it is basically all gray. And that's my kind of Rubik's Cube. I was never really good at solving them. I'd sit there and I could get three sides and be like, success. And just don't look on these two sides. But look, I solved it. But you know what? The funny thing is a lot of times when we go through life, we make worship into something that it's not. We make worship into something that's so difficult, we go, I can't do this. That's for the spiritual elite. I mean, these people raising their hands, woo! That's crazy. Clapping? I don't know. It's a Baptist church. Whoa. Calm down, soldier. But you know what? Let me tell you. A lot of times we think that worship is something more. Something that sometimes, you know, maybe like one of these Rubik's Cubes, we just don't get sometimes. But hopefully as you learn throughout the week that worship is something... probably more complex and yet more simple than any of that ever will be. You say, well, how could it be complex and simple? Well, it's as simple as this. We said it yesterday. First commandment. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. And you know what? There's a second commandment that's likened to the first. I don't know if you've heard of it. Obey your parents. You get bonus points for that one. But no, it's actually when Jesus was asked, what's the greatest commandment? And he says, Lord, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. But, yeah, there you go, right there. And you know what? As easy as that is. So basically it boils down to love God, love others. And you're like, yeah, that's easy. That's worship. I can do that. Or can I? And that's the hard part. It's easy to say, simple to say, and sometimes not so simple to do. Because let's face it, sometimes we don't love God or love others in the way that we should. God bless you. I don't know who you are to bless him, but sorry. My father-in-law said that one time. I sneezed and I said, bless you. And he said, who are you to bless me? Some of you guys know Pastor Jim. I said, God bless you. But I kind of wanted to talk a little bit about heroes today. One thing about me, you know, we talked about some things that we're passionate about. I love superheroes. That's right. I am probably, I've probably seen almost every superhero movie out there. And even some horrible ones. I'll talk about my favorite. You just hold your horses. Go out there. Go get yourself a horse and then hold it. Okay? Yeah. Well, I guess it would have to be two. And then it would get awkward. Because then how are you going to hold them? I mean, do you cuddle? I don't know. Cuddle. Not cut. Wow. It just took a dark turn. But I do love horses, but I love superheroes more. But ever since I was a little child, when I grew up, I wanted to be a superhero. Because that just happens, right? I thought when you're a kid, you could just jump into a vat of radioactive, you know, waste, and you get to be a hero, right? Because that's how it happens. Or some mysterious, you know, you become an astronaut, go out in space, and they bombard you with, you know, radioactive stuff. Or maybe if you're just lucky, you were just born with it. But I wasn't. I tried. I hurt myself many times. Have no powers. So here's the question. Who's your favorite hero? Let me have some hands, though. Batman. I love Bat Dad. Huh? Some Batmans? Okay, let's just get... Who all likes Batman? Okay, we got some Batmans. All right, what else do we have? Ultraman! Yes! We were talking about him this morning. No joke. I'm serious. All right, any Ultraman fans? Come on. He's not my favorite, but I do love Ultraman. That's beautiful. That's beautiful. What you got? The Joker. If anything, he's an anti-hero. And that's pushing it. Technically, I don't know. I think there's a term for it. I think it's villain. But I'm not one to judge. What you got? What's that? Hulk? Any Hulk Smash fans? All right. What else? What else do we have? I'm going to get two more. Oh, the lovely lady in the back. Oh, no, that's you, Logan. The Amazing. Wait, is it the Spectacular or the Amazing? Okay. Just making sure. Yeah, okay, Spider-Man fans? Okay. All right, I'm going to take one more. All right, you better have a good one. Let's... Captain America. America. It's just Captain America. Yeah. All right, any Captain... Now, here's the question. Were you a fan of Captain America before the movies came out? Okay, I'm just making sure. All right, so Captain America fans, anyone? All right, we have a couple. Well, I want to kind of want to tell you my favorite. Jesus Juke. Yes. My favorite superhero is Wolverine. Not Hugh Jackman. But I do love Hugh Jackman. He did a good job, except for that one Wolverine movie. Let's not talk about it. But I love Wolverine. I will tell you, in my office back in Arizona, I've got a set of real Wolverine claws. Put on knuckles that come out like this. They're dangerous. They're sharp. And my son always wants to play with them. And I tell him no, because that's my job. But, you know, we have different heroes, different people. And sometimes we're like, okay, why do we look up to these heroes? And sometimes it's because they have good values. Sometimes it's just because, you know, they have some awesome abilities that we wish we could have. And sometimes, you know, we like, you know, Spider-Man because of his hilarity, his quick wit, right? And sometimes we like Wolverine just because he's a stinking beast. And you know what? He's anti-hero. But here's the other question. How about some of the heroes in our lives, some real everyday heroes? You know, we have heroes that have gone through so much. We have the heroes that have helped out in the 9/11 attacks. We have, we have some of our celebrity heroes, right? Wait a minute. It's not really Betty White because she's got a Snickers. She hasn't eaten it yet, so we'll see. We'll see who she really is. But then we also have, I think the next slide's got the other heroes. We have heroes that have gone out of their way to do some extraordinary things to rescue people. We have heroes that have given, you know, that have, one, laid down their lives. We have people that have, in various wars, that have laid down their life for the freedom that we have in this country. There are all sorts of heroes that we have that are all around us, and sometimes we don't give them the credit where the credit's due. And today I want to talk about a few heroes in the Bible. And these are some of my favorite heroes. When I read about them, I was like, man, these guys are awesome. They're kind of like Wolverine beast quality style. Okay, these guys are amazing. Okay? And these guys were known as David's Mighty Men. How many of you guys have heard about David's Mighty Men? Okay, only a few of you. Let me tell you, these guys are stinking amazing, okay? And these guys there's one guy that fought 300 men in a battle, killed them all, and he became the commander of David's mighty men. There was Benaiah, who took on two warriors at once, and you're like, oh, that's no big deal. But these two warriors was another country's best men. And he took them on at the same time and killed them. Okay? There's another guy. He went up against a lion in a pit of snow. Now, I don't know about you, but the lion has an unfair advantage besides, you know, teeth and all that with the four-wheel drive, you know? And he killed it. Piece of cake. Okay? And, you know, they have the whole speed thing. But also that same guy, he went up against a 7.5-foot-tall giant. Now I can only imagine this because I'm like, you know, 2'3". And, the stage adds a little bit extra. But this 7.5-foot-tall guy, and he's got his spear. And the spear is probably 5.5 to 6 feet tall. And probably the head of the spear is probably a good 15 pounds. And he's got this spear, and the other guy's got a club. So he beats up this Egyptian, he takes the spear from him, and then kills him with his own spear, this giant. Okay? And then we have the three. You see, David had probably about 37 of these guys, but there were three that were more amazing than any of the others, okay? We have Joab Bathsheba. And those are, you know, not actual depictions of them. Now, these guys have some really weird names, and it's because they're not from America, you know. Yeah, I believe it or not, it was not in existence during that time. Sounds strange. But, I would call him Beth, but I wouldn't really make fun of him, because this guy, he went into a battle by himself, killed over 800 men. So if you want to put this perspective, thank you. If we had about 400 of these guys, they would easily kill all of Brazoria County. Not just Brazoria, Brazoria County. Guy's a beast. Then they also have Eleazar. Now, there was this huge... What? Once again, artist depictions, you know. But the reason why I have the picture of Inigo Montoya looking for the man with the six fingers on his left hand is because he went in this battle and by himself killed 300 men. Okay? When the rest of the Israelites retreated, he held his ground, fought in this battle, and he fought so hard that his hand was frozen to his sword. Now, I don't mean like frozen, but if you've ever, yeah, that would be really awkward. Because yeah. But have you ever held on to something so tightly that you just couldn't let go? Like maybe if any of you guys have taken the SATs and you got that pencil and you're like, ah. It was kind of like that. His hand, he'd fought so hard that he had to pry the sword out of his hands. Okay? And then we have Shammah. Now the Philistines, yeah, I know. It's not, you know. I know. You best calm down there. Inigo Montoya is awesome. But he fought even when...
But he doesn't have...
Yeah, it's true. Shammah went into a field of beans. That doesn't sound as romantic as you might think. Israel also retreated again, and this guy, he stood his ground, and he defeated the whole army by himself. We don't know how big the army was, but it was probably bigger than two guys. I'm just saying. But also, he did this in a field of beans. Now, usually when you think of beans, you know, you don't think of fields. But, some of you guys have seen the crops as you go by. You guys grow beans out here too much? All right. In Yuma, it's really weird. Even though we have temperatures of 120 degrees, one of their greatest resources is farming. Yeah, it's really weird. It's because we have summer all year round. But we have these far, and once in a while they grow crops of lentil or beans, and basically so that they can just plow it over and then regrow stuff because all the nutrients go back in the soil. Well, you know how high these things go? So you would think that it might provide some cover because he's like, oh, he's in a field. You know, maybe he'll be at now. No, he's out there. He's out in the open fighting an army. And you would think that at least one guy would say, you know, I've got a rock I could throw at him. Maybe that'll help. Or an arrow. Or something that we can't, you know, get near this guy. But no, he defeated the whole army by himself. So I want to kind of put you into perspective about these three guys. These three guys are just stinking amazing. And these are guys found in your Bible, all right? The Mighty Three. And these guys worked for this guy named King David. Now, you've heard about King David, right? He's killed bears. He's killed lions. One time he went up to a lion, you know, took one of his lambs, and he was like, hey, give that back to me, and took the lamb out of the lion's or the bear's mouth. Pretty amazing. And he was pretty good in battle. But if we were to look at this in perspective, we have, if you kind of guys kind of remember the story of King David, is he was anointed to become the next king of Israel. But Saul was already king. Saul was jealous because David had done so good in battle with his men and with himself that Saul was like, I'm going to kill this guy because I want my throne. I want to maintain my throne. And so he goes after David and he tries to kill David, and David runs off into the wilderness with some of his mighty men to hide. And this is where we find David, okay? He's having a hard time. He's a little homesick. He's been out in the wilderness, and he's just kind of thinking to himself, and he's like, man, I wish I could just get a drink of water from the wells in Bethlehem. Have you guys ever went to anywhere else and you tried their water? And you're like, this water is nasty. It's not like the water at home or something like that, you know? And this is basically what David's thinking. He's like, man, I just miss the water at home. It'd be so amazing if I could just get a drink from this well. And so what happened is we come to the situation where his mighty men, do I have the verse up on there? All right, go ahead and, yeah, David's mighty men, beautiful. So the three mighty men broke through the Philistine lines, okay? Now, do you guys remember what home is to David? Where's home to David? Bethlehem. Okay? And this is his home, and he's like, man, I just want to... So the Philistines have taken over Bethlehem. And he's like, I just need a drink from the well. The Philistines, I know, I was hoping the spoiler alert up on the screen would help, but whatever. Three mighty men broke through the Philistine lines, drew water from the well near the gate of Bethlehem, and they carried it back to David. Now, this doesn't sound like, you know, like, oh, it says it like no big deal. But if you think of this, the city of Bethlehem has these things called walls. I don't know if you've heard of them. I know. It's new technology. And these gates and these walls, and these three men broke through, somehow got through all the men, and managed to get water from a well. It's not like they just like, psst, go, let's go. You know? It's not like they could just, you know, put their canteen up to the spigot and pour out some. One of these guys means that one of these guys is probably out of battle while he's going down, dipping out from the well to fill up for David's water. While the other two are fending off the rest of the army that's fighting them. And then not only that, they go and take the water back to David. Do you think that these guys in the city of Bethlehem, these Philistines, would just be like, oh, just let them go. They got the water. It's too late. Level over. No. I mean, these guys are probably like, you know, until at some point they're like, okay, that guy, they're too good. I'm not going to chase after him. But at some point they would have to say, you know what, I give up. And so these three battle through a heavy encampment to get this water for David. Okay? It's about 13 miles away, and they couldn't just, you know, I mean, they might have had horses, but more than likely, if they're going into this encampment, they probably walked a good distance just because they wouldn't have wanted to be sighted. They wouldn't have went in quietly. But these guys right here, they go and they give David this water. Now put yourself in these shoes. Say three of your best friends go out and do something like this for you. What would you do? I mean, that shows some, you know, some real love right there. They went out and got the thing that you wanted more than anything else. What would you do? What would you guys do? Come on, anyone? Thank them? I mean, hey, thanks, man. You're awesome. Buy them pizza. Yes. Yell at them for doing, you are so stupid. Why'd you get this? And you know what's funny? Is David takes this water and he's like, it's like, wow. The Bible says he refused to drink it, but he poured it out before the Lord. So what he did was he took this water and he poured it out, okay? And he gave it to God. I mean, can you imagine if I did that for someone that was one of my friends, you know, I would probably be upset. Did you just do that? I will drop kick you in the throat. I'm okay with that. It happens. But you know what? Do you know why David did this? It's for the same reason that we might yell at our friends for doing so something so stupid. David says, look, it says, far be it from me, O Lord, to do this. It is not the blood of men who went at the risk for their lives, and David would not drink it. So if you want to put it plain and simple, basically he says, my life isn't worth your lives. I understand that you love me. I understand that you care about me. But to tell you the truth, you know what? I'm not worth this. Only God is worth this kind of devotion. He pours out the water as a drink offering to God. Basically, he felt bad. You know, I understand that you guys love me so much, but I don't want you to risk your lives for me. And it's awesome that you guys love me so much, but I'd rather you love God more because I'm not worth it. And so that's what worship is about. Realizing that God is worth so much more than anything that we have. You know, these men, they're pretty awesome. Kind of gives me three different aspects of worship that we can note in even these guys. You see, these guys, they were kind of worshiping David. And David was saying, hey, don't worship me, worship God. So when we look at this, we realize, you know, that worship, a part of worship is also serving. It's giving up yourself and saying, you know what? You know, you notice David never asked these men to go there. He never, hey, can you guys go do this for me? Not once. Did he do this? He just said, probably said to himself, you know, hey, man, I would love some water from there. These men were like, I got it. And so part of worship is serving. You know, I want to challenge you guys this, because sometimes we think that, you know, like I said last night, you know, we think that worship is only the singing, or we think that worship is only this listening, or worship is only reading the Bible, or worship's only praying. But you know what? I want to challenge you guys even further. Can I challenge you to say worship is also serving? You see, we get the same aspects when this guy named Jesus, probably heard about him, what he did. In his last hours before he died, what did he do? He served. That's the example that he set. And these men right here, they gave up their rights for their king. In the same way, when we go out, we need to give up our rights for our king. You know, we're going to be talking about this a little bit tonight, but you know, worship is part of it is laying down saying, you know what, I'm not important enough for this. What we do is we need to be a little bit more appreciative, look around a little bit more to when you see a need, you meet a need. Sometimes when you guys come into your youth group, I could probably ask some of the youth pastors back there and, you know, hey, you know, how often do your students clean up after themselves? Wait, what? I wish. That's what I've got college students for. sorry. lots of love out there. but in truth, a lot of times what has to happen is after you guys all leave and have left all your messes and all your junk, or even how about this? Let's make this a little bit more applicable. How many of you, when you left your house, you made sure that your home wasn't a complete wreck before you left? That's good, because, you know, you don't make a mess where you have to live, right? Or at least, you know, for the next few hours, days, whatever. But I want to tell you guys, we need to be more conscientious of the others around us. When a part of loving God and loving others, you have to remember, oh, loving others doesn't just mean, I loved you, and then walking on and getting on with your life. But if you see someone in need, you meet that need. When you see someone who's in desperate need of maybe just a hug, or maybe just someone that just needs someone to talk to, maybe even something as simple as someone needs a pencil, you say, yeah. Worship is also serving in the same way that these men served. And not only that, but it goes in further saying it's worship, a part of worship is humility. And we're going to talk a lot more about this tonight, but I want you guys to understand it's a lot of giving up our rights. Instead of saying, we're so important, we say, God is so important. Okay? This is what David did when he's like, you know what, I'm not worth this. I'm not worth this at all. And I don't know if I want to be the one to tell you or not, but I'm going to go ahead and tell you. No one's ever told you this before. It's not about you. I hate to tell you, this world, it's not your world. If we think that oftentimes the universe revolves around us, that we think that we're so important. But in truth, every one of us are struggling with ourselves, with our own identities, trying to make it through day one, day two, day three, et cetera, et cetera. But it's not about you. And the third thing that we need to look at is that we need to be passionate. In our worship, in all that we do it for the Lord. And when I say passionate, we talked about this last night, right? We're passionate about different things. You know, I love superheroes, woo, you know. And then when it comes to worship, we're like, he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. You guys would be like, oh, man, I left my phone. I love you. I love Wi-Fi. I mean, how many of you guys, when the first thing you did when you got to your home, hey, do you have Wi-Fi? Okay, there's a couple. But how many of you, when you go to places, you know, that's the first thing you're like, how can I switch the conversation to their Wi-Fi password? So this is a nice house. Which Wi-Fi password? It'd be easier if you just set it up with the guest account. It's cool. But, you know, we seem so passionate. We're always like, oh, man. And you know, we can kind of like equivalent it to searching for Wi-Fi. You know, have you ever been to a place where you're like, oh, man, no Wi-Fi, and you're like desperately searching, like, hold on. A bar. Beautiful. You know, if we were as passionate about searching for God as we were for Wi-Fi, whew, can you imagine the changes we could make in Brazoria County? I've heard one of the greatest reasons of why people don't like Christians is because of Christians. Is because of hypocrites. And let me tell you, at some point in time, we're all going to be a hypocrite. But you know what the thing is that we are forgiven hypocrites. There's at some point in your life where you're not going to live out the life that Christ tells you to live out. And hopefully he'll break you. And you realize, you know what? I need to do better. I can do better. At some point, we need to say, you know what? I'm going to start living my life for Christ instead of living my life for everything else out in this world. Being passionate, being so desperate to pursue Him that He becomes our all, that He becomes our need. I've heard the jokes before about how, you know, how desperate we are for Wi-Fi sometimes. And I've seen all the memes and I've seen all, you know, all these, you know, hilarious pics. But the truth is, until we're that desperate for God, we're going to have a hard time. You see, the Creator made us for something more than this, something beyond this world. And yet somehow we still can't get past this world. We keep our eyes on this world saying, what can this world give me? I can't wait for this, or I can't wait for that. And God says, you know what? I've got something better for you, something more amazing than this world has ever had to offer. And yet you still chase after these empty things that can't fill you. And so, guys, I'm praying for you guys this week. I hope that as we continue for the rest of the week, as you guys continue in your sessions, I'm going to be straight up. I know some of you guys in here aren't Christians. The likelihood of, that some of you in here aren't Christians is very high. But you know what? That's awesome. That's okay. But I pray that this weekend that God will speak into your heart. If you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, then you need to work on that. Because let's face it, Jesus didn't say, I am a way or a truth or a lie. You know, no. Jesus said, I am the way. The way. I mean, because I've heard some people argue. They say, well, is it fair that God would be so inclusive that He'd only give one way to heaven? Or how about this? Let's think about this. What kind of God would be so cruel to give 4 million ways to heaven and not tell you which one's right? That's why God said, no, one way. I don't want any confusion about it. One way, and that's a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. You think, oh, well, I go to, you know, and I'll admit, when I grew up, when I was in high school, man, it was actually my junior high year. I went to church nonstop. I was there day in, day out. I was a beautiful soprano. Not kidding. Yeah, it's still beautiful soprano. I was in the adult choir. I did handbells. What? I know. I was amazing. I did VBS. I was there whenever the church was open. I went to all these youth, and you know what? It was I thought that because I was so active in church, that God would see that and be like, that's Joe. He's my man because he's so active and he's always there. That's cool. But you know what? I went to a conference and the pastor there spoke something that spoke directly to my heart. He says, look, church can't save you. We think we can go to church and we can do all these things and we think that all these things will save our lives, but in truth, church can't save us. The only thing that saves is Jesus Christ, and that's that personal relationship. You see, we've got a sin problem. And he told me this, and I was like, because I thought, I mean, I knew I sinned, but I thought that, you know, just because I was there at church, that I was good. And he said, you've got a sin problem. And it's only through that relationship with Jesus Christ can your sins be forgiven. And I remember, it was awesome because I was going home with my best friend, played soccer with him, and his dad was the youth leader. And I was sitting with my best friends in the back, and you know how guys are, you know, manly men. I was sitting in the front, just it was beautiful. It was the ugly cry. You see, I was broken because I finally realized that I was messed up. That I had a sin problem. And I was destined to hell. I thought I was cool. I thought God would be like, yeah, good Joe. Good job, Joe, you know. But no. And so my friend's dad, he led me to the Lord that night. And it was awesome. It was amazing. And I finally realized something that I'd never really grasped before. Going to church, you know, that's great for sharpening you once you're a Christian. But it can't save you. If you've been to camp and you walk down an aisle, walking down an aisle won't save you. You know, singing praise songs won't save you. Singing about how great Jesus is, even as true as it is, still won't save you. Because if you're just singing without realizing you are my Savior, you don't know. You don't know him. And so this weekend, I want more than anything else for you guys to take this weekend to really take a hard look at yourself. You know, you've seen the t-shirts, heaven is better. But you know what? If you don't have that relationship with Jesus Christ, you're going to miss the boat. Because you could be like, yeah, heaven sounds awesome. But if you don't have that relationship with Jesus, you won't be there. Bottom line. Because God's not so mean as also to say, well, you know what, everyone's been pretty good. I'll let you all go. No, because he is a righteous God. He says, I can't have sin in my sight. And so when Jesus died on the cross, he paid the price, but only if we're willing to accept his gift. And so this weekend, if any of you guys are not saved, and maybe some of you guys are, you know, I'm unsure, I want you guys to take that time to talk to your group leader. Talk to me, talk to John, talk to any one of these youth guys. We would love to talk to you about your relationship with Jesus Christ. And the reason why is because regardless of whether you know this or not, you are loved. Yes, you're loved by Jesus, but you guys are loved by us as well. And for me, there would be nothing more heartbreaking than to get up to heaven and to miss out on some of you guys not being there. So I want to challenge you guys. Take a hard look at yourselves this weekend. If you don't have that relationship, ask about it. If you're concerned about it, talk to your leaders. Talk to your pastor. Okay?